Amen. Well, good evening, Harvest family. So good to have everyone with us tonight. Looking forward to our service as well. Had somebody say something today at lunch, something I haven't said in a while, and it's shameful. So I better just go ahead and say it. Ready? God is good.
All the time.
All the time? Amen. Well, he definitely has been good to us here at Harvest Baptist Church. Wonderful service this morning. A choir again. You guys just keep getting better and better and gooder and gooder. Enjoyed the choir this morning and the congregational singing. And it always helps when we sing songs that we know well, but we do need to stretch our repertoire on some of those songs. And even once in a while, we'll be singing. Let me do a quick survey. How many recognize the song Marlene played during the invitation? Okay. We need to sing more, lack of better way to say it, more invitational songs during the service so that we do recognize them sometimes. I don't like to sing during the invitation, because I like people to be focused on, if they know the tune, hearing the tune and talking to God, as opposed to singing the hymn during the invitation. That's why I don't sing during the invitation. Pastor churches, when they work in the military, where somebody would sing the invitation while other people listen, but even sometimes that doesn't last long, because sometimes the singer wants to go down to the altar as well, so it ends, so we just keep playing. But we are working and singing more hymns during the invitation, or during the service, so we recognize those. Well, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Let's go ahead and stand together if you're capable, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our first song tonight. I have a story to tell to the nation. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessing and joy of service. Thank you for laughter and time of family and church family, and I pray that you bless us tonight, meet with us tonight. May we enjoy the time of praise and worship as we sing, and the time of worship as we go and look at your word to be challenged tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring tonight.
Father, thank you so much for this gorgeous day you gave us, Father. Thank you for your love shown toward us, Father. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for his wife, Michelle, Father. And thank you for each person that is in attendance today. Father, we're not here by mistake or because of chance. We're here because you have drawn us here, Father, and we thank you for that. Your message this morning was impactful, hopefully fruitful. And so, Father, tonight, with great anticipation, we look forward to the message you have for us. Father, as part of our worship today, we just want to give back a portion of what you've given to us, Father. We know by your grace, by your mercy, Father, by your love shown toward us, that you've given us an abundance of what we've had this week, Father. And we just know that we want to bless you and honor you and worship you, Father, just by giving back a portion so we can sustain the operations here at Harvest Baptist Church and all the missions that we support throughout the world and even in this community, Father, for all the functions that we can help with. Father, we are so thankful that you are our God, and we ask you to join us tonight, Father, as we just celebrate our great God in song, Father, and through your word and, Father, the preaching of your word through our pastor. Thank you for the unction you've given to him tonight. And we thank you for all these things, Father, and especially for your son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sam. You have your handouts tonight as we'll continue with our doctrinal survey. We've covered many topics and we'll start a new one tonight. Do you really know what you believe about the believer's resurrection? And we'll start off in John chapter 11. I have most of the scripture verses in your handout. That's why it's a little longer tonight with the trifold. I wanted to make sure I didn't leave anything out and wanted to make sure that I had plenty of blanks for people to fill in as well, for those of you who like those blanks. Before we go ahead, before I have a word of prayer and get started, let's just take just a moment. Remember our theme, faith, family, and fellowship. I want to encourage you to continue to exercise your faith. And make sure you take opportunity to fellowship with other believers, especially among our church family. It gives us a great opportunity to serve the Lord together. So, and of course, being our church family. So let's take just a moment. Does anybody like to just share a quick testimony tonight before? Amen. Anyone else? Real quick, and we'll go ahead and pick up. Thought I saw another hand. No? All right. Let's go ahead and look in our Bibles tonight. I want to just give a little bit of an introduction, then I'll read the text in John chapter 11 here in just a moment. But again, do you really know what you believe about the believer's resurrection? Again, this is to whet your appetite. We're going through basic Bible doctrines, kind of sometimes 1 week, sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes I stretch it to three, but still just the basics. I encourage you to get into the Word and discipleship. Lord bless our time together tonight. Here in a few moments, we'll read in the book of John chapter 11. I just pray you bless the reading of her word, and I pray that you'd help us tonight as we study the scriptures and as we look at some things in reference to believers' resurrection tonight. Help me, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. James Russell Lowell was a poet and a diplomat from the 1800s, and he once remarked that a fitting epitaph for him would be, "Here lies a part of James Russell Lowell which hindered him from doing well." The bottom line is, it kind of goes along with the message this morning. We get in our own way so often. We get in the way of ourselves that hinders us or keeping us from doing well. Sometimes the body is not only a handicap, but also an enemy of the spiritual man. Because as Paul wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 5, in Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. See, a weak back, a dim eye, a poor voice often opposes and interferes with the expressions of the Spirit. Think about that for a moment. We, again, carry over from the morning message. It's unique sometimes how the Lord lets some of these things overlap in the two services. But if we're not careful, our weakness, our frailty, a lack of backbone can get in the way for the Spirit of God working in us and working through us. See, the flesh just gets in the way when not Spirit-controlled. Well, preacher, where are you going with this? Well, I thought we were talking about the believer's resurrection. We are. We're getting there. So this is what Paul meant when he talked about the body at death in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 43 and 44. Paul says, "It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So then a corruptible body shall have been turned into an incorruptible one, and a mortal body into an immortal body. At that time, no great act or labor or desire shall be unattempted or left unfinished for the lack of strength. See, no sickness will waste our strength or lower our hopes, and no cry of anguish and pain will break the silence of the night or stain the beauty of the day, because there will be no more pain." Amen. No more heartaches, no more difficulties. Brother Darrell, no more sharing pain. No more flu season. No more surgeries. No more anxiety. No more difficulties in life, because the Lord will take care of all of that. What the Word of God says can be a real encouragement to believers as we try to navigate through this life. When we have those hardships, we have those difficulties, we have those aches and pains, we have that anxiety, we've got surgery coming up, we can just remind ourselves, one day this mortal body will change. So number one tonight, what the Word of God says can be, again, a real encouragement to believers as we do navigate. So number one, confusion concerning the resurrection. Confusion concerning the resurrection. So let's go back and read it from the beginning in John chapter 11, verse 39 through 44, and we'll continue here. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Can you imagine the crowd that day, how they may have responded when that body wrapped and prepared for death was unwrapped and brought forth? Question for this section, confusion concerning the resurrection. In what ways do you think God's people can be confused concerning the resurrection of the body? I know so often people get confused and trying to remember and put together the different things we talked before about the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment this past week, and sometimes we get confused or confuse them. But what are the confusion that maybe people may have? Letter A, not every resuscitation is a resurrection. Not every resuscitation is a resurrection. See, to resuscitate means to bring back to life, to revitalize or to revive. This was the case with Lazarus in our text that we read here in John chapter 11. Others also were also brought back to life in miraculous ways in the Word of God. And we'll look at another one of those. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32 through 34. And when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon the bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay down upon the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. See, in one sense, this is a resurrection. But don't confuse it with the resurrection. And here's the reason why. Letter B, resuscitation results in death again. Resuscitation results in death again. See, the problem with resuscitation is that the one whose life has been revived will have to experience death again. And for some people, maybe more than once. If someone has a heart attack, they may in fact be clinically dead because of the lack of the heart function. But with CPR or with a defibrillator, it may be possible to bring them back to life. They may live another year or they may live 50 more years, but eventually they're going to die. The book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. See, there is an appointed time, and the only reason anyone can be revived is because it's not their appointed time. Yes, praise the Lord for whoever may have performed CPR. Praise the Lord for the doctor that brought someone back from the clenches and claws of death. But very well we know that God is the author of all things, and it was not their appointed time. So again, confusion concerning the resurrection. Number two, Christ clarifies the resurrection. He clarifies the resurrections in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 19 through 21. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So our question for this section, what is it about Jesus that makes things clear concerning the resurrection and resuscitation? You know, sometimes I believe there are some church members that they need to be resuscitated. They need the life brought back to them that they might wake up, receive the word, and get spiritually active. In other words, not physically dead, but spiritually dead. Letter A, in reference to Christ, clarifies the resurrection. He is the first fruits from the dead. He is the first fruits from the dead. The word first fruits here means the beginning of sacrifice, or the first to be offered in a sacrifice. I really like that second part of that definition. What a perfect description of the Lord Jesus, the first to be offered in sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 again in verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So in his death he died for us. In his resurrection he rose for us. Again, all for us. And we need to be so mindful and remember the opportunities that the Lord does give us to speak about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And to present the complete counsel of God, we need to speak of his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, which changes men. And that's awesome here as we think about he died for us, and his resurrection, he rose for us. And that's awesome because, letter B, we will be the rest of the fruit. Remember, first fruit, we will be the rest of the fruit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, in verse 22 and verse number 23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are in Christ at his coming. See, here's the key, a personal relationship with the Lord. Notice the way Paul has structured this statement. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. We are his. In other words, if you are not truly born again, then you have no hope of a bodily resurrection unto eternal life with the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, I want to get back before we get to number 3 to that aspect. The key is a personal relationship with Christ. We've talked about that a lot over this year, and again, being in the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it took me 14 months to get through 1st John, and now we're on 2nd John. We've been 2 weeks on verse number 8, and we'll move on as we go through. But there's no need to be in a hurry. Looking at it, and I'm enjoying our study, and we need to remind ourselves in our relationship, everything that we do in our Christian walk and our Christian growth is all keyed under our relationship with Christ. Everything we do in witnessing and sending out missionaries and ministering and the work that we can do is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. And relationships, like anything else that we have in our life with anyone else, relationships can have its ups and its downs. But are we striving to know more about him? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could know as much about the Lord as he knows about us? Boy, does he. Before I even think it, he knows. I'm just so glad sometimes he doesn't knock on my noggin before I get it out of my mouth. You know, he just knows everything about us. So how are we striving in our relationship? You know, I'll compare that with a relationship. It just came to me, Brother Hunt. I can't think of an illustration anymore without thinking of Brother Hunt. And Michelle and I will have been married here coming up. And here in the church, I'll use a church. It's even a better illustration, I think. It's more personal with all of us as opposed to Michelle and I's anniversary that's coming up. Next Sunday, according to the fourth Sunday of the month, will be 3 years that I've been here at Harvest Baptist Church. By date, it'll be the 22nd, but by the fourth Sunday, it'll be this next Sunday. And there's no doubt in my mind over the last 3 years, I've gotten to know you better and you've gotten to know me better. Imagine I could go around the room and say something about everyone that I've learned about you over the last 3 years or over the last months or weeks or year, depending on how long you've been part of our church. Some of you are new. Some of you have been here the whole time that I've been here. And that's called relationship. The more we know about them, the more we get to know them, the more we build our relationship. And the more that relationship becomes more important to us and desire to know more. And sometimes that leads to cutting up and teasing one another, having a good time. Hence my joke this morning about the Idaho farmer. How many of y'all figured out who the Idaho farmer was and the Arizona military brat? Yeah. Oh, can you put your hand back up? You don't know who the Arizona military brat is? It's your husband. Yeah. And I couldn't think of anyone to use as a redneck. I didn't want to offend anyone. So I kind of used myself. I'm the southern boy here. But it's because we get to know each other. We know things about one another. We can text one another. I think if something comes up and something comes across my mind, or I'm reading my Bible and I think, oh yeah, me and Brother Sam was just texting about that last month, and I'll send him a text message, or he, me. It's relationship. It is relationship building, you know, and that's what's so important. So we need to ask ourselves, am I actively not only building my relationship with my church family, I'm also still working on the relationship I have with the Lord. If we're satisfied that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, I've obeyed the Lord by following him in believer's baptism, that's my first step of obedience, are we satisfied, or do we want to continue to build that relationship? So again, that is so important, because our Lord, as he clarifies the relationship, he is the first fruits, and it's us because of our relationship with him. So let's strive with our theme, with faith, family, and fellowship, to continue to build our relationship with the Lord and each other. And as it's built on one thing, there's a commonality. Another illustration. I can't help myself. If I'm in Walmart and I see somebody wearing orange, I want to walk by them, even if it's going out of my way, to see if it says Tennessee on it. I'm just going to do that because I'm from Tennessee. And it automatically opens the door of conversation with that person, because there's a commonality built on a relationship or a fondness of Tennessee football or Tennessee baseball or the state of Tennessee. And it's the same thing with us as Christians. We have a commonality as a relationship with the Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can build on that relationship as we build our church here locally, and our relationship and building spiritually as we work to build and reaching others that are around us. Number three, that was absolutely free, not even in my notes tonight. Number three, Christians cheered by the resurrection. Now, we should get excited about the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Brother Tony, you'll never have a car that won't start in heaven. Never. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 13 through 18. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Our question, amen, for this little section. Why do you think believers should be happy at the prospect of the believer's resurrection? I believe we all have some input on that. There's so much to be happy about the believer's resurrection, shedding this old sinful world. Not only never a car that won't start, never another election. So much, I mean, we're just going to have fellowship and worship all the time. No more elections. No more demand charges on my APS electric bill. Amen. No, I mean, just some things we're just going to shed and never miss. Letter A. The bodily resurrection is encouraging. The bodily resurrection is encouraging. What an opportunity for us to get excited about those things. It is a blessing because our bodies will be changed. All of us, all of those who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:51. I don't know why this came into my head, but it did. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I remember when we were in Bible college. Michelle and I were married, and of course, we met in Bible college. So the second time we're in Bible college, so we were married when we were at Trinity there in Jacksonville. And something came up about the resurrection and the return of Christ and no more sickness and no more pain. And I noticed a couple of single guys in the dining facility, the cafeteria. I used to go to the cafeteria between classes, or when I had a break with classes and maybe a skip class before the next one, and they usually had coffee, and I'd get a cup of coffee and talk, and we were talking around the table, some of us married guys, and a couple single guys joined us, and we had just gotten out of the class on Revelation. We were getting excited about the return of the Lord. Lord, no more sickness, no more pain, no more exams, no more 7 o'clock Greek class, no more Hebrew. And all of a sudden I saw all these long faces on these young single guys, all sad looking out. And I looked at them and they said, what's wrong? He goes, well, Henry, I got a chance to get married yet. So we had a little good time teasing some of those guys, but I don't know why I thought about that. I just did. The bodily resurrection is encouraging. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Great verse for the nursery, amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It is a blessing because the body will be reunited with the soul and spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again in verse 53, the next verse. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's a blessing because we will finally be with the Lord in our glorified state. Gentlemen, we'll never have to say, sweetheart, I'm sorry again. We'll never have to worry about the aches and the pains. We'll never have to worry about what's for dinner. We'll never have to worry about, again, that APS demand charge bill. What a heavenly thing that is going to be one day. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, we're almost done here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that, what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Man, when I was in Bible college, I remember a message, seeing him as he is. And he gave the illustration in the Old Testament. The name of his message was simply, "The Camels Are Coming." And I'm going to have to look back that up again and see if I can rework and see if I can present it some way. Just so one of those messages that stands out that you hear that you just don't forget the title and illustration. And it's referring to Rebecca. And as she came to the well coming with a camel, and her future husband seeing him and knowing and referred to, the camels are coming. Their friends, one day, the sky's going to break. Our Lord's going to return. And I mean, we'll have all eternity to speak of. We can think about how it might be now. We can look forward to the things of the Lord's returning and shedding this corruptible body. But I wonder sometimes if we need to remind ourselves enough of that to get excited enough about his return that it might help us in our excitement and our zeal to also to share our faith with others who have never heard of that, have no hope, no thought, and think that it's all over when they take their last breath. The bodily resurrection is encouraging. And then the last one here tonight, the bodily resurrection impacts eternity. Impacts eternity. You know, over 500 people witnessed the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ at one time. And they impacted others by their testimony. And it has been that way ever since, as we read from the book of Acts. The gospel is about the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has impacted our eternity. And we need to make sure that we do retell it. Evangelism, the last couple blanks here, evangelism is about the bodily resurrection, both Christ and ours. One day we will. We've had some men, great men in history that's had the opportunity. The Lord said, come up, and they never saw death. But one day we will. Unless that trump sounds, and then we too will escape that part. But one day we will meet him in the air. And evangelism is about the bodily resurrection. Missions is about the bodily resurrection, both Christ and ours, reaching the world for Christ. That's why we purchase tracts. That's why we have invitation cards. That's why we invite people to church. That's why we have a missions conference. That's why we support missionaries and read a letter every Sunday night and every Wednesday night to see what's going on as we pray and give that others may hear the gospel. If not for the resurrection of Jesus and the belief that we too will be resurrected, Christians are just wasting their time. But we know, according to the word of God, that he will. He has come. He gave his life. He was buried. He rose again. And one day he will be coming back. 1 Corinthians 5:19 as we close. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Again, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. How many people in the world today have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel? Sad to say, in today's technology, there are still people that have never heard, listen to the wording, a clear presentation of the gospel. They've heard about God. They've heard about a God. They've heard about religion. They've heard about sex. They've driven by churches and seen buildings. They've driven by churches and seen marquees. Maybe they've seen a Bible in the bookstore. Maybe some of them have even looked through the Bible. But have they heard and have presented them a clear presentation of the gospel? Are they seeing enough of the gospel in our lives that when we have a chance to talk to them about the Lord, they are ready to receive Christ because they've seen it pictured in our life? Again, what do you really believe about the believer's resurrection? Let's get excited about the return of the Lord. Let's get excited about this corruptible body becoming incorruptible. And let's do all we can to share with others. When we first came to Harvest, for many people, a lot of talk in the medical field was talking about a doctor that many of us have as our primary caretaker. And we heard about it because of how well that they enjoy their doctor, how wonderful that he is, and that he is a believer, and he is active, and he's fit, he's got a good staff. And it wasn't long for that that we made a phone call and got our way in that week. He could be our primary care doctor as well. It was by word of mouth. And we need to make sure in the same aspect we're doing the same thing by word of mouth. We're sharing with others and telling them about what we believe about the believer's resurrection. Because, folks, there's no doubt in my mind. Well, let me rephrase that. We don't know when the Lord's going to return. No man knows. It could be at any time. Do I think it's going to be tonight? Could be. Maybe down the road, maybe in the future, there may be events that need to take place in prophecy before he does return. But they could all fall in place. But here's what I do know. I have an obligation as a believer. I've received a command as a believer to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I cannot go to Africa. I cannot go to Asia and stay in Goodyear at the same time. But I can pray and give and help missionaries that are going there. And I can do my part right here where I live, because here's my motive, and I shared it before, and we'll be done tonight. I have family members that are lost. I've been praying for my Uncle Dan for, goodness, since I was probably 16, 17 years old. One day I hope to get a phone call like I did from my Uncle Graham when he trusted Christ and wanted to tell me that he had gotten saved. One day I hope to get that phone call. But until then, I can do this. I can pray and say, Lord, please send someone again to share the gospel with my Uncle Dan. Lord, put someone in his life, because he's heard it from me multiple times. Put someone in his life that will live out the gospel. And then here's what I add. Lord, help me be that one for someone who's praying the same prayer for their family member that lives here in Buckeye or in Goodyear. Help me to be that one that someone else is praying. And I'll do my best as you send someone else to live that life before Uncle Dan, that he may come to know Christ. Again, when we get excited about the resurrection and about his coming, we should want to tell all that we can so they can get in on that incorruptible body when the Lord returns. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and do thank you so much for your goodness, for the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for the wonderful service you gave this morning to the visitors, the wonderful service and fellowship tonight and visitors once again tonight. Lord, I pray that they have received a warm welcome, those that we had this morning and again this evening, that have been challenged and encouraged by the word of God. And Father, help us as a church family as we prepare to dismiss in time of fellowship. Lord, as we go through again with our theme of faith, family, and fellowship, to take that opportunity to fellowship, to treat one another like family, and do all that we can to grow our family, because we're sharing what we believe about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be that mouth and spokesperson for you as we continue to pray for others, as we ask others to go to reach our families. Now, Father, again, dismiss us with your love tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate.